with Iran.
Despite being a legal and diplomatic victory for Iran, the court verdict failed to improve conditions in the country, particularly in the aviation industry. Ultimately, Iran, with 310 planes, of which only 150 are active, is once again forced to find new ways of maintaining and growing its air fleet. The sanctions are exerting a lot of pressure on Iranian airlines. Yet many of those working in the aviation industry believe that there is always a way to control the sanctions, or at least reduce their negative impacts to a minimum.
We are facing with the sanction, but we are managing the sanction. We have less aircraft than customer demand in the Iran network, but we are feeding this demand by safety.
Glorious martyrdom. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, heartfelt condolences to all our listeners on one of the most tragic days in the history of mankind. Today, the 21st of Ramadan is the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the person who had no peers and whom God Almighty had made second in merits to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. A millennium and four centuries have passed since his departure from the mortal world, and yet Imam Ali, peace upon him, remains immortal for all believers who continue to pay homage to him, whatever the circumstances, including the current corona pandemic plaguing the world. He was the embodiment of justice, and this was among the causes of enmity towards him by certain people who finally conspired to martyr the person and end the only instances of the administration of social justice in history. Please stay with us for a special feature in this regard. It is indeed an irony of Islamic history that on the 21st of Ramadan, the second of the three probable grand nights, the grand man, Imam Ali, peace upon him, achieved martyrdom, having been struck a fatal sword blow on his head while performing the morning ritual prayer in the Grand Mosque of Kufa by a Khawarij or renegade from Islam, progenitors of modern-day Takfiri terrorists. It could be called the martyrdom of the spirit of the Holy Quran, in view of the famous statement of the Prophet, who decades earlier had foretold his dear cousin, son-in-law, and divinely designated heir of the tragedy he would suffer in Ramadan. As recorded by all prominent narrators, including Sunni and Shia, indeed, Ali is with the Qur'an, and the Qur'an is with Ali. The two will never separate, even when they return to me at the pool of Kawthar in Paradise. In view of these undeniable facts, all of us ought to pray fervently for the triumph of righteousness over falsehood and the end of tyranny on planet Earth, whether by the great Satan, the U.S., or its devilish agents who are bombarding the people of Yemen, brutalizing the Bahrainis, committing untold atrocities against the people of the eastern parts of Arabia, destabilizing Iraq and Syria, pounding the Palestinians, and funding sedition in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Anyone who attempts to write something about Imam Ali, peace upon him, will admit that he was a perfect man of God, obedient to the Creator in all aspects of life, to the extent that he would not even entertain the idea of committing the minutest act of disobedience. His famous words continue to ring in our ears, despite the passing of a millennium and four centuries since his martyrdom. By Allah, even if I am given all the domains of the seven climes with all that exists under the skies, in order that I may disobey Allah to the extent of snatching one grain of barley from an ant, I would not do it. For me, the world is lighter than the leaf in the mouth of a locust that is chewing it. Imam Ali, peace upon him, was indeed a paradigm of piety and excelled all others in the worship of God, as he himself had said, "O people, I do not impel you to any obedience unless I practice it before you, and I do not make you refrain from any disobedience unless I desist from it before." He lived according to the commandments of God and in accordance with the sunnah and sirah, or practice and behavior of the Prophet. Because of his commitment to these factors, he refused to accept the caliphate after the death of the second caliph. When the condition spelled by the six-man council was that the next caliph should be bound to the behavior and pattern set by the first two caliphs. Although justice is regarded as a much cherished humanitarian principle, there are very few who really adhere to justice and practice justice. History bears witness that persons in power show respect for justice and implement justice as long as it is in their interests. Justice, in the lexicon of such persons, has definite limits. As for Imam Ali, peace upon him, justice had a transcendental meaning where self-interest ceased to exist. He was the epitome of the just ruler and spared no effort for the implementation of justice. When he heard that the agents of the rebel Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan had plundered the city of Anbar and snatched the jewelry from the women, including those non-Muslims living under the protection of Islam, he said, "If any Muslim dies of grief after all this, he's not to be blamed, but rather there is justification for him before." In another place, the Imam says, "By Allah, I would rather like to pass the night in wakefulness on the thorns of the Sa'dan, or to be driven in chains as a prisoner, than meet Allah and His prophets on the Day of Judgment as an oppressor over any person or a usurper of anything out of the worldly wealth. And how can I oppress anyone for the sake of a life what is fast moving towards destruction and is to remain under the earth for a long time?" This lofty sense of justice for restoring people their denied rights, if it endeared him to the oppressed masses, it made the oppressors his open enemies. The commander of the faithful was determined to restore to the public treasury the wealth of the Muslim that the previous caliph had distributed among his supporters, who were now the wealthiest people. Imam Ali says in this regard, "By Allah, even if I had found that by such money women have been married or slave maids purchased, I would have resumed it because there is wider scope in dispensation of justice, and he who finds it hard to act justly should find it harder to deal with injustice." This is how Imam Ali, peace upon him, spelled out his state policy. But those who had prospered under the previous administration due to rampant favoritism, nepotism and other forms of corruption felt alarmed and became obstacles to the implementation of justice in the Islamic society. It is in the nature of man to covet worldly positions and possessions. It would not be wrong to say that many people desire fame and publicity more than anything else and would resort to any method to achieve this, since in their eyes, the life of the mortal world is the ultimate goal. Imam Ali, peace upon him, however, considered the world like the intestines of a swine in the hands of a leper, or even worse than that. Addressing the world, he says, "O world, O world, get away from me. Why do you present yourself to me? Or are you eager for me? You may not get that opportunity to impress me, deceive some other person. I have no concern with you." Despite being the ruler of a vast realm extending from Central Asia to North Africa, Imam Ali, peace upon him, never forsook the company of the poor and the destitute, and would even join them for meals at times. When he appointed governors and other officials for the far-flung provinces, he first and foremost instruction was to cater to the needs of the masses of common people and to respect their rights. He used to remind his officials, saying, "Certainly your assignment is not a morsel for you, but it is a trust around your neck." He served as the model of emulation for his friends and urged them to acquire the qualities he possessed. The commander of the faithful strove to build persons who will determine their own destiny and will not be influenced by anyone, even if it means that they will be boycotted by those trapped in the material life of the world. Elsewhere, while describing the qualities of the faithful, he says, "Their countenance is the countenance of the truthful, and their speech is the speech of the virtuous. They are wakeful during nights in devotion to Allah, and are minarets of guidance during the day. They hold fast to the rope of the Quran and revive the traditions of Allah and His Prophet. They do not boast nor indulge in self-conceit, nor misappropriate, nor create mischief. Their hearts are in paradise, while their bodies on earth are busy in good acts." strong was the sense of justice to Imam Ali, peace upon him, that even on his deathbed, he instructed his son and successor, Imam Hassan, peace upon him, to arrange food for his imprisoned assassin, Ibn Buljam. And when the wretch was brought before him, he ordered the loosening of his bonds and offered him the milk he was drinking. Alas, such a noble soul was not allowed to live and left the world a martyr on the 21st of the blessed month of fasting, the anniversary of the death of Prophet Moses, and the day on which God Almighty raised Prophet Jesus to the heavens to save him from the plots of the Israelites and their Roman overlords. He was laid to rest in the dead of night in Najaf near Kufa, besides the graves of the prophets Adam and Noah, peace upon them. Imam Hassan, peace upon him, said on the funerary in praise of his father, "Tonight has passed away a person who was the first among the early believers in good actions. Nor did any later Muslims will attain his level in good actions. He waged jihad alongside the Prophet of God to protect him with his own life. The Prophet of God used to send him forward with his standard, while Gabriel supported him on his right and Michael supported him on his left. He would not return until God brought victory through his hands. He, peace upon him, has departed on this, the night on which Jesus, son of Mary, was raised by God to the heavens, and on which Joshua, son of Nun, the testamentary trustee or wasi of Moses, peace upon him, died. He left no gold or silver except 700 dirhams with which he had intended to provide his household a servant."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. This is your program. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, Muslim lady. I am Asma at your service as the host, and we have Sister Zainab to help us with some more of information about how to be a perfect Muslim lady in a modern world. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam.
It's always an honor to be here sitting there with you.
Thank you so much.
So now, for today's episode, we're going to go through something very much beautiful, and I guess it's very much relevant in our today's life. See, like when we love people or when we hate people, we do it for some personal reasons. We do not care about the love of Allah in every single step we take. In our, maybe, of course, I'm not talking about every single person, but I'm just saying that this is the normal and common stuff that happens in our lives. When I love someone, I love them for some personal reasons. When I hate them for some personal reasons. While we have too much of narrations in our Islamic heritage that if we are a true obedient to Allah, we have to balance our love and hatred based on that. And now, Sister Zainab, all of these stuff that I talked about would come with the title of being God-oriented, being too much attracted to God, being such a true obedient to Allah.
The best way you mentioned it, being God-oriented, because the monotheistic will in our behavior and with this central point that we are God-oriented defines our attitude, defines our personality, reflects our religion, actually. And what could be better than this if your love and hatred is God-oriented?
Yeah, is again, you know, whatever that you do would circle around the love of Allah.
Yeah, whatever your behavior is, if it's God-oriented, you're going to be prosperous here and there. Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, "Hub fillah, bughz fillah." Have love for Allah, and if you have any hatred, it should be again for Allah.
Yeah, that means, for example, like what we have it in our narrations, we say that when we talk of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, we say that إِنِّي سَلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَرَمَكُمْ. That is, I am a friend of all of your friends and I'm an enemy to your enemies. So it is exactly the same thing, the same story when it comes to Allah. That means if I love someone, I should love them because they remind me of Allah. And if I hate someone, it must be because they do not remind me of Allah. They're so far away from the path of Allah.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that love for Allah, hate for Allah is the peak of your iman, faith.
With this beautiful quote, let's go for a break and then afterwards we'll be back. Welcome back, dear Muslim ladies. Well, we are talking about being God-oriented, having the love of Allah in the corner of your heart. And this love works as a light in your heart that is the sun, and everything else would circle around it.
Yes, indeed. As Imam Hussein alayhi salam also puts it, he says that it's you, Allah, who puts the love of others out of our heart and fills our heart with your
exactly,
love.
Exactly, yeah.
So we got to be seeking this. Mm-hmm. We got to be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's very difficult that you're living around with the people and then you're basically being God-oriented at the same time. Not giving preferences to others over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that would be lying to Allah.
And you know what? We actually see it in our common ordinary life. Just imagine when we were in high school or when we got to university or even after that. We see too much of people. We get interested in them. But then when you get to know them, you feel like they have nothing to do with Allah. They neither remind you of Allah, nor they would take you closer to Him. Therefore, you should just cut them out of your life. But what happens is that it is very difficult for you to do it because you have some attachments toward them. And then you would feel like, Okay, it's very much difficult for me to pick the people based on the love of I have for Allah.
For that reason, you got to be learning the importance of saying no.
Yeah.
It's very important. And we'll discuss that someday, inshallah, because for ladies as well, it's very, very important.
Exactly.
Who, on the basis of respect, keep on going mm-hmm. and do not know the value of saying no.
Yeah.
But that's also very important. Importance of saying no is another very important topic.
Because, you know, since we're talking to Muslim ladies, some of these ladies would get attracted to a man, and then that man is just not very much close to Allah, and then they would marry that guy, and then that guy is going to deviate them from the true path of Allah.
We are always in the state of selection in our life.
And especially for the ones we love.
Exactly. So what are you selecting, when and why mm-hmm. is very important. So she would always select and praise people, make friends people, make foes because of her God-orientedness. I'll give you an example. Salman Farsi was one of the best companions of Prophet, peace be upon him. And when Prophet, peace be upon him, leaves for the eternal abode, you know, he goes incessantly to Imam Ali's house for 10 days at least, and consoles him and provides sympathy, mm-hmm. offers help, and is by his side, actually, you know, in the dark time. Lady Zahra Salamallahu does not ignore this. She remembers this. Like, when I lost my father, who was the one for Allah who came to our home, who sympathized us because of Allah, you know, knowing the teachings of Islam and all. It was Salman Farsi. And then in reward, she teaches him Du'a-i Noor.
That's so beautiful.
Because of Allah, who love Allah, who are close to his messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's again showing her anger, her wrath at the same time towards the ones who wronged them, who wronged Imam Ali. So the ones who are standing with Imam Ali alayhi salam, she is with them and she rewards them. And those who have been against Imam Ali alayhi salam, she is telling them, I would meet my father soon and I will complain about you. So when it comes to enemies, she keeps every that person as enemy, who is enemy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she consistently reminds society that Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Fatima is a part of me. The one who makes her happy made me happy. The mm-hmm. one who angers has angered me, and simultaneously he has angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a process. Like, she reminds society of this thing. Whenever she feels angered by society, mm-hmm. she reminds people of these narrations by Prophet, peace be upon him, and has a hatred for a couple of people in the society who have a lip service in the Islam and who actually she knows their real colors.
Yeah.
And she is very God-oriented in her affection and in her hatred.
We could say that we should manage our friendship and our hatred toward other people based on the love that we have for Allah.
Exactly.
That is, to love for Allah and to hate for Allah as well. So right now, it's the time for another break. Let's go for change of mood and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear listeners of Muslim Lady. Well, we're talking about being God-oriented. Your love and your hatred must be planned based on the love you have for Allah. So you can't say that I love Allah and yet befriend someone who is the enemy of Allah.
Yeah.
And you can't say, again, I love Allah and not hate his enemies.
Exactly, because there might be people who are asking that, let's just spread love and let's not talk
exactly,
about hatred.
Yeah.
But it's very important to have hatred for those who are against Allah. If you don't have hatred for them, you can't fill your heart with love. Because one heart possesses one law. It does not possess two laws. Because even in Quran, we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I gave you one heart.
Yeah.
He does not say about any other organ of the body because heart is equal to law.
And it's all because there must be only one love, one light in the center of your heart.
Exactly. The way you mentioned, I would put it this way. A heart that is Husseini can't be Yazidi at the same time.
Exactly, yeah.
So when you have love for those who stand in the way of Allah, you can't have affection for those who stand against his faith.
And we have it in our everyday life. It's not a thing that happens just in the war-filled battlefields or whatever. And no, we can see it every day. We have been put in a situation to pick sides.
At least stand against oppression.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk against oppression. And stand against oppression because those who witness oppression...
And stay silent are a part of that oppression.
Are a part of that oppression, as if they're committing that themselves. Yeah. So you have to be fair enough. You have to be someone who chooses, like, God-oriented for Allah, even hatred for Allah. It's okay to kick out some people out of your life. It's really okay. But you should kick out only those who really take you away from Him.
Yeah, only in the name of Allah. You can love and you can hate.
Yeah.
As I just told you, it is not a far-fetched thing, as though it just happens in the fairy tales or in the stories. No, right now, with this media in my hand, with me following some people who do not deserve to be followed, with me going for some models that do not know anything about Allah, and then planning my life based on whatever they like or they dislike, is again a sort of a thing that God doesn't like. And exactly. I should be very much aware of that. When we say that love for Allah and hate for Allah, these very little things with their details are also included.
Every small thing matters. Then.
Exactly.
Every small thing does have an effect, impact on your life. It has an impression on your life. So, yeah, you got to be loving people around. Yeah. You got to be choosing your relations, especially women. Choose your friends. Choose your relatives.
Because when we say women... Well, firstly, because we are talking
forgiving.
To Muslim ladies. And then next, yes, exactly. They're so passionate. Forgiving. They have a kind heart. They're so forgiving. But in some matters, we should be very much strict.
Yeah. Here we should be wise.
Yeah.
Here we got to be wise.
This is being wise.
Yeah, this is being wise. And that forgiveness, generosity and everything, sympathy and all, we got to be keeping them in balance.
And then something just for the record, when we say hate for Allah, we do not say because those who love Allah, there comes a sort of kindness and passion in their heart that would be spreaded everywhere.
Yeah.
They would be so kind. Just look at Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha. She's been kind even to her enemies. But that doesn't mean that... When I spread love and happiness everywhere, that doesn't mean that I would go directly to the same way they go. Because I'm a human being and there might be chances when I get so much mingled with people who are the enemies of Allah, who do not have any smell, any touch of that sky above, then there is a chance for me to turn into be someone like them as well.
Yeah.
They might affect me as well. That's why we say you should even hate because of Allah.
Exactly. Because if you're not showing that hatred, you're showing your consent, you're showing your satisfaction with the whatever is happening against, whatever is happening, you know. Even there were women who come to Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the time of her death and they say, "Hey, see, we are sorry we could not stand by you." And she says that, "I know your real colors.
Yeah.
I know this is just, you're saying this with your lips. If you were sorry, you would have been standing on the way of Allah. But you are against Allah.
So,
and I'm not going to forgive you." So it's okay if you can forgive someone.
Yeah.
For Allah. Again, exactly. For Allah. It's very good to forgive people.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Allah, if you know the person is not God-oriented, let not forgive that person.
Exactly. So thank you, sister. And me in here, as a lady, I would wish every single one of us to be in that center where we love and hate because of Allah. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. nothing in life is free.
Food for thought. Salam everybody and heartfelt condolences to you all on the tragic 21st of Ramadan, the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the divinely decreed vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here is part of his last will to all family members, friends and followers. My advice to you is to be conscious of Allah and steadfast in your religion. Do not yearn for the world and do not be seduced by it. Do not resent anything you have missed in it. Proclaim the truth. Work for the next world. Oppose the oppressor and support the oppressed.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. On the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we express our condolences to all brothers and sisters.
Tears scream and voices
Today, Wednesday, is the 21st of Ramadan, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Farvardin, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of April, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At first, we listen to verse Al-Mubahila, and then we go to our topic and we learn more about Hazrat Ali's status, and of course his martyrdom. Chapter 3 of the Holy Quran, verse 61.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Faman hajjaka fihi min ba'di ma ja'aka minal ilmi faqul ta'alaw.
فقل تعالوا ندع أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين.
Then whoever argues with you about it after this knowledge has come to you, say, Come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves. Then supplicate earnestly together and invoke the curse of Allah upon the liars among us.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
On the day of Mubahala, the Prophet and the Najran Christians agreed to curse one another until Allah punished those who were on the wrong path. So the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, took Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them, with him. When the Christians saw that he was so confident in his success that he had only brought his closest relatives, they grew apprehensive and accepted to pay the jizya instead of going through with the challenge. In the verse, Ali is mentioned the soul of the Prophet.
His last salat Ali led. Ali was struck on the head. We all shall miss you, O Haydar. We all shall miss you. After he rose from sajda, Ali was stuck in Kufa. We all shall miss you, O Haydar. We all shall miss you. Warrior of Khaybar, our leader Haydar.
We'll listen about Hazrat Ali's martyrdom. As blood oozed down profusely from the forehead of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, where he was struck with a poison-dipped sword during the Fajr prayer inside the historic Masjid Kufa, his prophetic words spoken immediately thereafter will be remembered for all times to come. Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba, I swear upon the Lord of Kaaba, I have succeeded. These words pronounced Hazrat Ali as his sons and companions scrambled to bring him relief following his fatal injury. To onlookers, it was immediately clear that Hazrat Ali could not survive the fatal wounds. And so came the end of the powerful life of an iconic figure, revered by many as the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad and the husband of Lady Fatima. The remembrance of the martyrdom of Hazrat Ali to this day, almost 140 years after his departure, bears testimony to his enduring influence for all times to come.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. A number of Quranic verses are revealed about Imam Ali alayhi salam and his virtues. Ibn Abbas is reported to have said that the amount of Quranic verses that were revealed about Ali alayhi salam is more than those revealed about any other companion. Ibn Abbas also reported that the Prophet said, God revealed no verse beginning with the expression, O you believe, but Ali is the head and the commander of those who, and commander of those believers. Some scholars have counted more than 300 verses praising Imam Ali alayhi salam. Among the Imam's virtues in the Quran are famous verses of the Holy Quran, the verse of Wilayah, the verse of Sail, the verse of proclamation, the verse of perfection and many other verses that are about the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The first and famous verse is the verse of wilaya, which speaks of the wilaya of God, the Prophet, and those believers who establish prayers and pay zakat while in ruku'. According to Shia and Sunni commentators, this verse was revealed when Imam Ali alayhi salam gave his ring while he was in a state of ruku'. In his prayer to a poor man. The second is the Sail verse, the verse of Sail that praises those who are ready to sacrifice their lives, seeking Allah's pleasure. According to the Mu'tazalite scholar Ibn Abdul Hadid, all commentators believe that this verse was revealed on the occasion of Laylatul Mabit, when the polytheist planned to invade the Prophet's house and murdered him on that night in order to preserve the Prophet's life. Imam Ali alayhi salam slept where the Prophet used to sleep. The next verse that I want to refer to is the proclamation verse, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Prophet to deliver a message to people and declares that if he does not deliver the message, he has failed to accomplish this mission. Shia and Sunni commentators have reported that this verse was revealed when the Prophet was returning from his last pilgrimage and on the occasion of Ghadir. And the last verse that I want to refer to in this show, though there are too many other verses that we have to discuss and talk about, is the verse of perfection. The perfection verse speaks of the perfection of Islam on a specific day, based on historical reports and hadith. And hadith, Shia commentators have argued that this day was the day of Ghadir, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proclaimed that Ali alayhi salam would be the leader of the Muslims, of the Muslim community after him, and thus Islam was perfected by the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among the real followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam in this world and the hereafter. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
وكان من صفات أمير المؤمنين سلام الله عليه أنه يقرأ القرآن في كل ليلة، يقرأ القرآن في آناء الليل وأطراف النهار قائما ليله.
علي أدبتنا علي
أنه يقرأ القرآن، أنه يقرأ القرآن.
علي كل البشر في بدالك العلم، علي كل البشر في بدالك
Imam Ali's last words. As Imam Ali lay severely wounded at his home in Kufa after a lethal head injury from an early morning attack on 19th of Ramadan in the 40th year of Hijrah, his promise to spread knowledge till his last breath remained intact. Surrounded by his closest family member, Hazrat Ali, in one of his last wills, said, "Until yesterday, I was your Amir, your leader. Today, I'm only an object from whom you can take lessons and warnings, and tomorrow, I shall part company with you." These final guidelines, along with numerous others, remain preserved as Muslim worldwide commemorated the martyrdom of Hazrat Ali on the 21st of Ramadan, born inside the Kaaba and martyred in the historic Kufa Mosque in southern Iraq. Hazrat Ali's life remains a widely acknowledged source of knowledge, inspiration, and the enlightenment. Salam and Allah's blessings be upon his soul.
Tears stream and voices hum. Don't go, Ali, please come. Don't go, Ali, please come. I raise my hands and pray. I wanted you to stay. I wanted you to stay.
the path of eloquence. Some of Imam Ali's words of the wisdom have been preserved and gathered in a collection known as the Path of Eloquence, or Nahjul Balagha. An excerpt of Imam Ali's words teaches us a lifelong lesson on how to deal with others, especially if we find ourselves in a position of authority. In a letter to Malik al-Ashtarg, the governor of Egypt, Imam Ali wrote the following. Remember, Malik, that amongst your subjects there are two kinds of people. Those who have the same religion as you have, they are brothers to you. And those who have religions other than yours, they are human beings like you. Men of either category suffer from the same weaknesses and disabilities than human beings are inclined to. They commit sins, indulge in vices either intentionally or foolishly and unintentionally, without realizing the enormity of their deeds.
He was lying on his deathbed after being struck by the sword of Abdul Rahman ibn Muljam la'natullahi alayhi. And he was in pain. Habib ibn Amr says, I came to visit Amir al-Mu'mineen. I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, show me your wound. He showed me the wound. I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you will be healed. Qala la ibn Amr. He said, not from this one. I'm going to meet my Lord shortly. I'm not going to be saved from this one. And he was sitting there on his deathbed, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling his sons and his children, telling them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my khalifati alaykum, hujjati alaykum. Allah is my proof on you. So take care of the Muslims, take care of yourselves after my death. It is said, at that moment, Zainab alayha salam came to see Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. She said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, oh father, I want to ask you a question. He said, what is it, Ya Zainab? She said, I heard a hadith from Ummu Ayman, the Prophet's wife, about Karbala. Is it true? I want to hear it from you. He looked at her and then he started shedding his tears. Qala, yes, Ya Zainab, it is true. What she didn't tell you is that you will be brought here to Kufa as a prisoner, Ya Zainab. And you will have no supporter in this city. You will be all alone, shedding his tears for Zainab salamullahi alayha. Then all the family of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they gathered around him. Then they brought him some milk. He drank some milk. And then he told Imam al-Hasan, did you feed Abdul Rahman? Go feed him from this milk. Amir al-Mu'mineen is telling Imam al-Hasan to take care of his murderer. I say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we are your lovers. We are your Shia. We are here so that you take care of us. Remember us on the day of Mahshar. Remember us on the day when we are in the Qabr all alone. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. We are the orphans. We are your orphans, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then the family gathered around Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. At this time, Ya Shi'ata Amir al-Mu'mineen. They were all weeping and crying. Amir al-Mu'mineen turned to them and said, don't weep and cry. Here I am seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And here is your mother Fatima. And here is your grandmother Khadija. And they're all surrounded by the angels telling me, come ya Ali, we are waiting for you. So don't shed your tears, for I am going to Jannah. I'm going to see my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then he said, Ya Hassan, Ya Hussein, take care of the affairs after me. Then he stretched his arms and he stretched his legs and he said, Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati Rasulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Today is the anniversary of Imam Ali's martyrdom. We express our condolences to all Muslims all around the world, especially Shia Muslims.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.